T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Big news for the Nats. They got a new color commentator on the TV coverage. Kevin Franson played ball here for a season. I think he was a decade-plus major leaguer. Folks seem to be really excited. Grant Paulson chimed in, I saw on Twitter, saying that he thinks Franson's going to be a great add to the broadcast, really knowledgeable. So that's cool. I guess that means FP is out officially. I'll be ready to watch baseball. Hell, it's only, what do you figure, 6 weeks, 2 months?
Close.
It's late March usually, right? Early April? Well, I think they're currently locked out or whatever, so we'll see what happens there.
It'll be late.
Right now, though, we're going to the BetQL guest line, presented by the BetQL Network, wagertainment for every fan. Morning, afternoon, and night, get sports betting tips from the best in the game. Streaming now on Odyssey. We're going to the BetQL guest line. We're going down to Mississippi to talk to Mr. Nick Suss. Nick is a beat reporter for Ole Miss football, and we wanted to talk to Nick about Matt Corral, the quarterback for Ole Miss that is flying up draft boards. Nick, thanks for taking the time, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy to help y'all out.
Appreciate it. Dude, I got to say something. I almost made a mistake. I'm not sure. Is Ole Miss still the Rebels? They just got rid of the mascot?
Yeah, no, they're still the Rebels. We'll see how much longer. Obviously, there's going to be conversations about Ole Miss and Rebels forever and ever and ever.
Sure.
But as of now, still Ole Miss,
gotcha.
Still the Rebels.
Okay. That's what I thought, but then I remembered, who knows? It's a weird world, and we're going through name changes up here in Washington anyway. Nick is the Ole Miss beat writer for the Clarion Ledger. Follow him at Nick Suss, S-U-S-S. Nick, tell us everything we need to know about Matt Corral.
Okay, that's an open-ended way to put it. But yeah, I mean, as far as quarterback draft prospects go, I think that in this year's class, Corral probably is the most complete passer with probably the lowest floor of this bunch. I mean, over these last 4 years that he's been on campus, he's played four drastically different roles, where year one he was a kid who redshirted, who got his opportunity in mop-up duty the Egg Bowl when the starter got hurt, and he showed some promise. Year two, he was a guy who was supposed to be the franchise savior, gets hurt game four, offensive coordinator runs a scheme that doesn't really fit him very well, gets replaced by a true freshman who runs for 1,000 yards. Year three, Lane Kiffin comes in as the head coach, installs an offense that's much more friendly to the quarterback. Matt Corral leads the entire country in total offense per game, heavily because he had a receiver named Elijah Moore, who went on to be picked in the second round and was arguably the best or second best receiver per game in the country, up there with Devontae Smith that year. This year, Matt Corral became the guy. He didn't have Elijah Moore as a safety blanket. He had himself. And if you look at his per-play production, there are very few quarterbacks that were asked to do more in college football this year, be it when he threw the ball upwards of 30 times in a 52-51 win over Arkansas, or be it when he ran the ball 30 times for 195 yards against Tennessee. That level of output, that level of production did lead to him getting banged up as the season went on. He hurt his ankle against Tennessee, re-injured it against Auburn, and then injured it again in the first quarter against Baylor in the Sugar Bowl. He obviously had to deal with his teammates being injured. There were points this season where all three of his top receivers were hurt. His starting running back was hurt. His center got hurt. His right guard got hurt. His left guard got hurt. His tight end got hurt. There were a lot of injuries, but he still put up, I think, 29 total touchdowns between passing and rushing. He never missed a game, just a couple of odd drives here and there. There's that Baker Mayfield quality of toughness that he has, of he played through a lot of injuries, and maybe his stock is better if he didn't play through those injuries, in the same way that you could say Baker Mayfield might be looked upon better this year if he didn't play with a torn labrum. But that toughness, that Joe Burrow quality, Baker Mayfield quality, whatever you want to call it, of these quarterbacks who have exhibited their going to take the hits and they're going to make the throws. That's kind of the thing that Corral has right now that's incredibly exciting.
So, real quick, I want to make sure I got this right. You said he's the most complete passer in the class, but probably has the lowest floor. Did I hear that right?
Did I say that backwards? Low floor, high floor confuses me a lot. I'd say highest floor, lowest ceiling.
Gotcha.
If I said it backwards.
No, all good, because the highest floor is important. I mean, that's kind of what Mac Jones, I think, last year had, right? Like, he's never going to be bad. He might not be as great as some of these other dudes, but he's not going to be bad. Mm-hmm. Sorry, B, I cut you off.
No, I was just looking at him. I know that we look at athleticism, but I think ultimately when you look at this game, it's how cerebral the quarterbacks are.
Yeah.
When you start looking at that part of his game, how would you assess him then?
Yeah, I think that the offense he played in these last 2 years probably helps him out as a processor a lot. Obviously, you're not going to run as tempo heavy of an offense as Corral ran at Ole Miss. There were points early in the season when the offense was healthy and clicking where they were average 85 snaps a game offensively, running a snap every 17, 18 seconds or so. And when you run an offense that fast, it's heavily couched in RPOs, heavily couched in the ability to make one or two quick reads pre-snap and be able to go. And because of that, he has a really, really fast processing ability. Whether he has the processing ability to kind of sit back and read a defense for 25 seconds and have six reads like some NFL quarterbacks have to, that's never been seen. I'm sure he could do it, but what he's best at processing-wise is get to the ball, have two plays in mind, see what the defense gives you, call one of the plays, run the RPO read, put the ball in the right place. And I think the thing that you're going to hear a lot about Corral in the draft process is his development from sophomore year to junior year of 2020. He had a game against Arkansas where he was intercepted 6 times, and he had a game against LSU where he was intercepted 5 times, 11 times in 2 games, I think 13 times the entire season. His junior year, I think he was intercepted 4 times total. Mm-hmm. That processing ability where he improved year over year and the ability to put the ball in the right place and not have to be the guy who does everything with his arm talent, because he will be criticized a little bit for his lack of top tier arm strength. I don't think that's an issue, but some people will criticize that for not having the Josh Allen, Justin Herbert type howitzer that some of these guys have. But the thing you do have to acknowledge is he has the talent to make the throws, and he has learned over these last 3 years that he doesn't have to rely exclusively on that talent to make things work.
Talking with Nick Suss here. He's the Ole Miss beat reporter for the Clarion Ledger.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can't help but notice the drop for Corral from his sophomore season in 2020 to his junior year this past year. TDs dropped, yards per attempt dropped.
Yeah.
Now he also dropped his picks from 14 down to 5. Was he trying to become perfect? Like what changed? Because it's one thing to see interceptions; they happen. but to lose touchdowns kind of stands out too.
Yeah, and I think that there are probably two things you have to acknowledge here. One will be a feather in Correll's cap, and the other will not. One, look at his rushing touchdowns as well, because he did, I think he ran for 11 touchdowns this year, maybe 12. That was significantly up, and in the red zone, they used his legs a lot more, and that trimmed his passing touchdowns a little bit.
Yep, but 11 TDs on the ground.
But the thing that does need to be said is when he got hurt, when he twisted his ankle, teams kind of sat on this Ole Miss offense, and it changed a little bit, where this was a team that before Correll's injury was leading the country, I think was third in the country in rushing yards per game behind only service academies that run the triple option, because Correll's threat as both a runner himself and as a passer to kind of open up the defense let these teams have giant running lanes. Now Correll gets hurt, teams kind of sit in the box, and the offense changes where Correll can't run and use that element of his game, and his top three receivers, two of whom I think will probably be mid-round draft picks this year, are hurt themselves. He's thrown to a fourth string, a fifth string, and a sixth string receiver with seven or eight men in the box trying to run tempo, and that slowed things down. You throw in the fact that he wasn't playing any slouch defenses. He was playing in the SEC. Things got tougher, and I don't know if that's necessarily an excuse when you're heading to the NFL where every team is always going to be good, but you do have to make the exception here of he was playing with an incredibly banged-up team. He was hurt himself, and the margin for error was less about Ole Miss needs to score 50 to win like it did last year and like it did the first half of the season, and more, if Ole Miss scores 28, they can win 10 games, which they did. Mm-hmm. First time in school history.
I think if you stated, you started off saying how many people were hurt on offense. If you get that many people hurt from one year to the next and they were good, you're going to drop, you know, ultimately.
Yeah.
But I think when you can lower those interceptions and they showed another aspect of his game, I think that'll be okay. But ultimately, for me, it comes down to what you can do in the pocket. And I think as we look at the NFL now today, we have a lot of guys who run around, but the guys that end up playing on the last game of the season, those are guys that can throw it from the pocket. If he can do that, I think he'll be a guy who's going to go in the top three.
Yeah,
top three quarterbacks pick, not top three picks.
Yeah, and that's kind of always been the thing that made him the top prospect. I think he was the number four pro style quarterback coming out of high school, and I think the guys ahead of him were Trevor Lawrence, Davis Mills, and I can't remember, JT Daniels maybe, but it's he's got the live arm, he's got the ability to process. I guess the one thing that was the knock on him that we'll see how it goes if he gets drafted by a team that isn't at the top of the NFL, is he does have a bit of a tendency to improvise when things go wrong. And that's where the interceptions came from in 2020. That's where the issues came from that ended up with him not being the starter in 2019, is when things are going bad, he can play a little bit of hero ball, a little bit of gunslinger ball, which works incredibly in situations like the 2019 Egg Bowl against Mississippi State, where he completed a fourth and 24 and led a 1 minute drill to presumably tie the game, if not for a missed extra point, but that's a very different story. It can also lead to situations where they lose to Memphis and situations where he throws six picks against Arkansas, that sort of thing. So it's all about growth. Nobody's ever a fully developed quarterback when they're 19, 20 years old. But I can say, having watched him over the last 4 years, there has been market improvement every year.
Here's the question I have to ask that's hard, and we're talking with Nick Suss, covers Ole Miss for the Clarion Ledger. Being a quarterback in Washington entails much more than just being a quarterback. You have to deal with a maze of off-field stuff, and it happens to all of them. Do you think Correll is the type of kid that can handle life as the quarterback of a largely dysfunctional organization?
Well, that's a tricky question because nobody has in the last 20 years.
Correct.
So I don't exactly know what the type of person is when I guess the successful quarterback seasons in Washington over the last two decades have been a year and a half of RG3, one good year of Kirk Cousins, and I guess Jason Campbell. It hasn't been the most
It's not consistent. Exactly the most stable land to walk on. Totally.
But what I will say about Corral is this is a guy who in 2018 and 2019, his first 2 years, was completely checked out when it came to watching film. He practiced, he played, and that was his job. Then between the 2019 and 2020 seasons, when Lane Kiffin came in, Elijah Moore, who's now a receiver for the Jets, kind of pulled him aside and said, you have to commit yourself to football. And Corral bought in, and he became a guy who learned how to lead. And then you look at this 2021 season, his final year, where Ole Miss was the number 7 team in the country, number 8 team in the country, first 10-win regular season in school history, and they're playing in a meaningless bowl game and zero players opt out. And Corral got a lot of the credit for that. Of, he said, well, if I'm playing in this game, everybody's going to follow suit. I'm the guy who makes this team go. And as deluded as that can sound, it was the truth. Everybody looked up to him as a leader, and he led well. And obviously, backfired. He got hurt in the bowl game. He had the worst case scenario. I think he'll be fine for workouts. He'll be fine for the combine, but that's the kind of mentality this guy has learned. And it's one thing when you arrive on campus when you're a 17, 18 year old kid and you already know how to be a leader. It's another thing when you see that transform over time that makes you think, oh, this kid is getting better. And I don't know which one's better to have if you're a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars last year drafting Trevor Lawrence, who was going to be the number one pick from the time he was 15. I saw him play in high school and I knew he was going to be the number one pick. Corral kind of has learned how to be that guy. And whether that translates well to being a quarterback under Dan Snyder, I have no idea. But it does show that this is a guy who's adaptable.
All right. Hey, Nick, we appreciate your time, man. Appreciate Thank you very much.
Yeah, happy to help y'all.
All right. That is Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. You can give him a follow at Nick Suss, S-U-S-S, on Twitter. When we return, we'll talk a little Corral, but at 1 o'clock, time for Bleep You Thursday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.